Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie Uncensored. We have officially moved to Patreon. Here's a sneak peek of Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie.
Come on, bitch, let's go.
Oh, wow. Today is going to be a doozy. We're going to do a few topics. I want to talk a little bit about Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, which has Armie Hammer's wife in it, because the tea did spilleth on the show regarding Elizabeth Chambers and Armie Hammer, and I tie it back to some of the things from his origin story, which you guys may or may not be aware of, and then I link it to the Seagrams family. I mean, talk about a colorful family. We have allegations that one of the family members paid JC to destroy a musician's career who inspired Rihanna. We've got a kidnapping where the victim becomes the villain, all in like the same scandal, and then the victim again. We also have two of the heiresses of the Seagrams' fortune funding $100 million towards the Nexium cult, and two of the women in the family in the upper echelons of all this. And one Seagram heiress ends up indicted for sex trafficking. Like, really? Now, before we get started, I want you guys to know I'm not going to go too deep into Nexium because I want to cover that in its own dedicated confessional video. But I will be touching upon, obviously, from the Seagrams' perspective, their involvement. If you wonder where some of the Illuminati concepts, you know, come from in our society, this is a really good example of that, right? Where, you know, an elite or elitists that are these rich people that are beyond wealthy are involved in corruption at the highest level. And I mean that because these women were found targeting their enemies, paying people off in positions of power, very similar to L. Ron Hubbard and what he did in Scientology, you know, in the later years of his involvement with all of that. They used to do the same thing where they would have a target list of how to infiltrate celebrities, politicians, judges, etc. And they would do it in multiple different ways, from having dirt on them to paying them off to threatening them, whatever worked, even getting people in the religion to take positions in companies that were beneficial to the cult. And it would appear that Nexium functioned very similar to Scientology, except utilizing one of the most powerful wealth families in the country, the Seagram family. But before we get into the Seagram family, let me tell you really quickly about Armie Hammer's wife and her new show that is appearing on Hulu called Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise. All right, so let's just start out by explaining that Grand Cayman in the Cayman Islands is a huge tax haven, and a lot of rich people move to the Cayman Islands and the Grand Cayman in particular so that they don't have tax liability. Now, if you're a U.S. citizen and you live there, you still pay taxes because the U.S. doesn't care where you live and what citizenships you have. If you're a U.S. citizen, you pay tax no matter what. But some wealthy people relinquish their U.S. citizen status and become a resident of the Cayman Islands and a citizen of the Cayman Islands so they don't have to pay taxes in the U.S. It also can take a little bit longer if you're having legal trouble for the feds to get to you if you're in a scandalous position. They will still get you because there's a bilateral extradition treaty between the Cayman Islands and the U.S. However, some people need that extra time. No, I don't need to tell you that Julian Hammer, who was the head of Occidental Petroleum, was scandalous and extremely rich and powerful and did some pretty amazing corrupt things in his time, but he didn't get any criminal charges or anything. He just pushed the limits. And if you watched House of Hammer, you could see that he pushed those limits pretty far. And probably if he didn't have the money and the connections that he had, he probably would have gotten into more problems than just three misdemeanor charges in the Nixon fund case. Okay, because he allegedly had given $54,000 in contributions and he concealed these contributions, which today would be like defo, felony, goodbye, see you later, Armand. Again, it was a long time ago. The U.S. at this time didn't have the level of laws, regulations, and punishments that they have now. I feel like I should call that out to you. Now he wouldn't fare so well. Now he has a son, Michael Hammer, and Michael Hammer is Army Hammer's dad. The reason I'm telling you this, of course, is so you understand how Army ends up in the Cayman Islands. Michael Hammer is a scandalous man. He drinks, he does drugs, he likes to party. He is surprisingly married for a really, really long time. But from what Casey Hanley explains, Michael is off his rocker, a narcissist, allegedly, you know, wields a gun and threatens to kill her when he's in a mood, you know, really off his rocker shit. And they lived in a mansion that looked like Wayne Manor. It wasn't Wayne Manor, but it looked like it, in Beverly Hills. Well, he's married to a woman named Drew Ann Mobley and has two kids, Victor and Army Hammer, with Drew. And they're surprisingly married for many, many years. In fact, 1985 to 2012, they're together. Now, I think that's partially because she was afraid of him, afraid to leave him. But I, you know, I can't comment further than that, but that's my gut. He then meets another girl named Misty Millward in 2017 and marries her. And then he dies of cancer in like 2022, I want to say. And she inherits $2 million in accounts. Now, Victor, Army Hammer's brother, freaks out and tries to sue her for the accounts. And they're still, I think, in litigation over this. Now, Michael had done a similar thing to his siblings where the father, Julian, allegedly left all of the children money at to some degree or another. And Michael swooped in and essentially took all the assets of Julian Hammer. So this is kind of a thing the family is educated about doing. So immediately after Julian Hammer dies in like 1990, Michael jumps in, gains control of the fortune, takes the $180 million from family, friends, co-workers, mistresses. Julian had all that, and they were all fighting for a piece. He swoops in and grabs it in a supposed underhanded way. He then goes about taking his dad's like most valuable things that he desired in terms of his legacy and smashing them to the ground by doing things like not paying the last $1 million pledge required to have his father's name put on the Hall of Arms and Armor at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which meant a lot to Julian because he was a huge patron of the arts. So just horrific stuff. Michael also gets a DUI and he decides to move to the Caymans because he sees the film The Firm starring Tom Cruise. And he's like, wait a minute, what's the Cayman Islands? And how is it a tax haven? And sure enough, he finds out that if you relinquish your citizenship in the U.S., you can actually go and live in this paradise and not pay taxes, which at this level of money, you know, was very enticing to him. And he was obviously conserving money and changing the way money was being allocated. He didn't like the way Julian spent money, obviously. So he moves the family to the Cayman Islands. And in the course of doing this, he also gets embroiled in a scam where his art gallery that he's the head of up until it closes in 2011 in New York is embroiled in selling fraudulent pieces of art, forgeries, 40 in total, Mark Rothko, Jackson Pollock, over 80 million in fraudulent sales. Now, although Michael Hammer denied knowing about these fraudulent pieces of art and their transactions, he ended up having to settle a lot of these lawsuits. And in the process, it got discovered that Michael had been using this gallery business for his own financial gain. He had been taking money from the holding accounts to purchase luxury cars and trips to Paris and more than $1 million in different things that he shouldn't have done from the business may explain why he was perfectly happy existing in the Cayman Islands on and off during this period of time up until his death. So we're talking 1990 all the way till 2023. Now, back on the Cayman Islands, it was famous that Michael had this throne in his house, which was a sex throne, and he was famous for it because he was into weird kinks, obviously similar to Armie Hammer, who, it comes out later, has weird fetishes of violence against women and wanting to eat them, etc. Elizabeth Chambers is Armie Hammer's wife. He marries her in 2010, and they're together up until the cannibalism allegations come out in 2023. And obviously, Armie Hammer and all the stuff that comes out about him is the reason for the divorce. A lot of women wondered, what is the deal with Elizabeth Chambers that she was able to be with a guy who has these kind of sick fetishes for 10 years? I mean, there's only really two things to consider. One is that he hid it from her and had a secret double life where he was doing all these awful things. And the other is that she was in on it in the sense that she was also into these weird kinks and maybe herself is a little off. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? Well, we get a little sense of that on the show, which is why I kind of did this recap for you guys. So Elizabeth moves to the Cayman Islands because Armie Hammer wants her to go with him, and they move in 2020. And of course, Michael Hammer is also spending most of his time now in the Caymans. He was in the last few years in Santa Barbara and Montecito a lot. In fact, that's where he meets his wife, his second wife, Misty. She's the spa masseuse at the Four Seasons Biltmore in Santa Barbara. Yes, love that hotel. And so he meets her there because he's got back issues and she gives him a massage all the time. And I guess that massage probably developed into a happy ending, the end of it all, because Misty ends up dating Michael Hammer and marrying him. And in addition to that, she gets a big fat life. If I recall, she has this really elaborate proposal story where Michael buys her like a red, white, and blue custom Birkin bag and a Bentley and gives it to her and proposes to her at the hotel with fireworks and all this stuff. And that's how Misty ends up marrying Michael. And then they end up spending the last few years of his life mainly in the Caymans. But this is the kind of love bombing that obviously these men can do. Right. So Elizabeth and Armie join Misty and Michael in the Caymans, and they're, I think, trying to duck some scandal, if I was to say what I really think. And it doesn't work out. They can't outrun the scandals. So it breaks, and Elizabeth is really given no choice but to divorce Armie Hammer at that point with the two kids because of the horrific nature of the allegations that have come out, plus the multiple lawsuits that now Armie Hammer is facing, which are going to wipe him out financially. Well, this is where we pick up with Elizabeth in the Cayman Islands and in this new show that just came out on Hulu. We start the show with her explaining that there's such a thing as the Cayman curse. And essentially what it means is that if you live in the Caymans with your husband or boyfriend, then over time, you're going to end up in a breakup. There's also something called the Cayman kind, which we learn is a thing where people are really kind and happy there too to counter the Cayman curse, I guess. She goes on to explain that the divorce is almost final, but not final yet, and things are really hard for her, and it was a horrific experience going through what she did publicly with Armie Hammer. Says nothing about any of the details surrounding the allegations, and in the press that they pull up to show that, they don't go too hard. Right? It's very fluffy. She explains that she's had two successful businesses in other cities, and this business franchise is called the Bird Bakery. And so she wants to open one up in Grand Cayman. And so she has this wealthy guy named Frank that's her friend that lives on the ocean there, and he's opening a place called Mykonos, and he offers her a section of his restaurant for Bird Bakery. It's at this time that we meet Victoria's Secret Angel, Salida Ebanks.
I've been on many runways, but to be a part of the Victoria's Secret fashion show for me was more than just a job. It was the highlight. My life changed drastically, like overnight. All of a sudden, people know your name. You find out friends that you thought were friends were not necessarily friends. A lot of other models didn't think that I was deserving of this contract. So I had to basically fight my way into their circle. There were one or two times where things could have been inappropriate, but never to the point where I felt like I was being disrespected. But I'm well aware of what was happening. I've heard horror stories from other young ladies. And I had hoped that everything done in the dark will come to light.
Oh, the irony of a Victoria's Secret model who said this in an E! Interview, being on a show as a co-star with Elizabeth Chambers, Armie Hammer's ex. Wow. Oh, jeez. You never know where life's going to take you. Now, Salida's brought into the show because she's from the Caymans, and she's never really spent much time there. She's lived mainly in New York as a supermodel and gone back and forth between the Cayman Islands and New York, but she's another very famous person that they have on this show because, of course, she was a very famous Victoria's Secret model. Now, she has gone out with people like Ye, Terrence J, and she was engaged to Nick Cannon, but she says, I'm not going to talk about any of that on the show. Disappointed, but maybe we'll get it out of her later. Well, we now know that Salida is going to be spending most of her time on the island, and she wants to make friends because she doesn't have any. So she asks some guy friends that right now are playing a minor role in the show, but they're certainly driving the narrative. And they're going to introduce her to a bunch of people, and we're going to see Salida and Elizabeth interact since they, I guess, know of each other or know each other a little bit. More on that later. So that's that. Then we move on and we go to Frank's mansion on the water, and he's invited Mykonos's assistant, Cass, who's going to do the marketing for his restaurant, although he has very little experience, we find out, from Elizabeth Chambers. Well, it's at this particular outing that I start to get a feel for how she ends up with Armie Hammer, because you can tell that Elizabeth doesn't like Cass, and there's absolutely no reason really for her not to like Cass, we think. But then all of a sudden, Elizabeth Chambers throws out at the table to Cass that she knows Cass's boyfriend and that her friend slept with her boyfriend. And we get no indicator whether or not this happened during Cass and her boyfriend's current relationship or at a time when they're not together. But the feeling of awkwardness when she calls this out and the impulsivity of it really feels weird. And I say that because she then goes on to say, you know, I have no filter. And neither does Armie Hammer, by the way. So it's possible this is where they connected and bonded. But it's weird. It is really weird how she says it. It's vicious and almost too direct and odd. It comes off that way. Then we jump to Cass, and Cass says to her back, well, listen, I know you were sleeping with my boyfriend, Simone's roommate, and so maybe that's how you heard that information. So she counters back with one of Elizabeth's secrets so that she can be embarrassed now on national television, so Cass knows how to play the game. And Elizabeth seems to blush a little and shut down a bit. And the reason for that is Cass believes that Elizabeth is trying to make it seem like she is a goody two shoes. And the reality is that Elizabeth is not a goody two shoes and maybe didn't want everybody to know that 5 minutes after all these stories broke with Armie Hammer, that she was sleeping with another guy who has a roommate, so obviously isn't that wealthy, in their little Cayman group, which to me as a viewer implied that maybe Elizabeth might have some kinks herself. Why do I say that? Well, maybe Armie and her relationship was a little open because this woman, Cass, seems to indicate that she's been sleeping with this guy for a while. So maybe there was some overlap with the ending of Armie Hammer's marriage relationship with her and this relationship in the Caymans that she was having. Okay, so then we learn that there's a difference between expats and locals. Expats come over generally from the States, like Miami, and they come in and they are rich and they want to play hard and it's like a vacation for them and they don't mind causing havoc and leaving. And then there's locals who respect the island and the people a lot more because they live there truly, and they also have more power sometimes than the expats, because if they don't like you, they can like push you off the island in a sense socially. And we meet a girl named Chelsea who's an expat, and she's come over from Manchester, England, and obviously her man was wealthy to move her from Manchester to the Caymans. And when they got there, she had two children with him, and then they broke up. And while she was there, she met another guy named Tyson, who's another expat. And he is this like really showy guy who throws around Dom Perignon and all this stuff. And he has a baby with her, but doesn't marry her, but seems to ask to marry her. But like, I don't know, it's very confusing, their relationship. He's cheated on her with 5 concurrent women. And she's still with him. And she's like, I'm addicted to him. I can't not be with this man who is a chronic cheater. And she keeps hoping he's going to change. And then we meet her best friend, who's a local named Courtney, very pretty girl. And she's no nonsense. And she's just like, why do you continuously see this guy, Tyson? He's never changing. And you're just going to end up hurt. And you've got a baby and you've got kids and all this stuff. And it's shit. So she's trying to end the relationship between Chelsea and her toxic baby daddy, Tyson. And I want dirt on either of this men, Chelsea's ex-husband and or Tyson. So if anyone out there knows them, definitely DM me on Instagram, Wilkie_Dana. I'm here for it. So we end up at Salita's party where she's supposed to meet Elizabeth and others. And Elizabeth calls and says, I don't want to attend. I'm busy. And she's kind of a bitch on the phone. And she handles the call really oddly. Another red flag for me. And then the producers cut to a girl named Courtney, who I mentioned earlier, who's friends with Chelsea. And Courtney, who I mentioned is a local, received all of these psychotic text messages from a Finsta account that essentially spelled out Elizabeth X. So Courtney believes that it's Elizabeth behind the Finsta account. And this Finsta account attacked her several times, which kind of has Armie Hammer weird, crazy vibes, which is why I think Elizabeth might be a little, birds of the same feather tend to flock together. Let me play you just the soundbite of the text messages that Courtney received. For the full scoop, join the Dishing Drama Dana Patreon. The link is in this audio description. It's only $6 a month, and you'll get the best information and tea about the things you care about, and even the things you don't know you care about. What are you waiting for?